Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Middle East Today. Coming to you from Beirut, I'm Mariam Saleh. The focus of several Arab leaders, including Saudi Arabia and Qatar, has strongly been shifted in the last few months on the events taking place in Syria. And it seems the latest Israeli aerial attacks on Gaza have been ignored. Now, was Israel merely testing its anti-missile Iron Dome, or is the world really diverted to the extent that another war against Gaza can be launched without an humanitarian reaction? Today, we will assess the situation in Gaza in light of the Arab stance towards Palestine. Now, to get more on this issue, we're joined by Mr. Issam Nahman, former Lebanese minister and political analyst. We'll also be joined by Professor Mkhaymar Abu Saada from the Azhar University and by Mr. Richard Millett, journalist. He's joining us from London. I want to welcome you all to this edition of the Middle East Today. I'm going to start with you, Mr. Nahman. How do you think Israel, it's these attacks that took place, do you think that they were a reaction to something, or that they were, of course, starting a kind of military attack, a new war perhaps on Gaza?
I think Israel was making a test. It wanted to know what would be the reaction of Hamas after their ally or their ideological reference, the Muslim Brotherhood, has took over in Egypt. In fact, they are the majority. They have the majority in both chambers of the parliament. They wanted to know how Hamas would react. On the other hand, they want to know how Jihad Islami would react, because as you know, Hamas leadership has chosen to leave Damascus. The leadership has chosen to leave Damascus, and Israel wanted to see whether Jihad Islami has replaced Hamas as the main ally to Iran in Gaza Strip. On the other hand, I think Israel wanted to examine the Egyptian situation, how Egypt would react. And last but not least, they wanted to test their newly weapon known as the Iron Cap, what do you call it?
Iron Dome, yes.
Yeah, Iron Dome, yeah. They wanted to test this particular weapon. Yes, Israel wanted to test all these things at the same time.
Let me ask Mr. Professor Mkhaymar Abu Saada, the fact that you see these ongoing attacks, and you also have, which also killed one member of Hamas who was just recently released through a prisoner swap between Israel and Palestine. Do you think that Israel wants to assassinate or try to kill in these attacks those people who were released? Or is it an attack to try and test, like Mr. Nahman said, try to test Hamas's reaction?
Well, the Israeli attack on the Gaza Strip, which started on a Monday evening by the assassination of the leader of Popular Resistance Committees, who is a resistance group here in the Gaza Strip, and the aftermath of that attack on the Gaza Strip and Palestinian retaliation, it seems to me that was the main issue here in the Palestinian territories. But let me say that I believe Israel underestimated a Palestinian response. Israel probably thought that they could go assassinate the leader of PRCs without a revenge from the Palestinian side. I also believe that that Israel and the Israeli authorities underestimated retaliation of the Islamic Jihad, who retaliated mainly against the assassination of the PRC leaders and also against the bombing of the Gaza Strip. For about 4 days, the Palestinian resistance groups here in Gaza launched more than 250 missiles on Israeli towns and villages, and also Israel killed more than 26 Palestinians and injured more than 50 others. It seems to me that the Israeli goal out of this escalation was probably to test the capabilities of the Palestinian resistance, military capabilities, and also probably to test the Egyptian and their political behavior after the revolution. But overall, I don't think that Israel thought that this eruption of violence will escalate as the way had happened over the past 5 days.
Yes, now back to you, Mr. Nauman. Do you think that Israel wants to try to stop any kind of unity government among the Palestinians? Like you said, Hamas is getting perhaps closer to Fatah. You have all the Palestinians planning on working together and working on a unity government. Do you think that this is one way to create this rift or let this rift between the Palestinians continue?
Yes, it could be one of the goals of Israel in this period. But I think there are other more effective ways. For example, the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Israel, Lieberman, said that as far as Hamas is controlling Gaza Strip, then we won't allow the Palestinians to have any corridor between the two, between Gaza Strip and West Bank. There are so many, ways to express their opposition for Palestinian unity. One of them could be this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, let me go to London now. We're joined by Mr. Richard Millett, independent journalist. He's joining us from London. Mr. Millett, why would Israel want to assassinate a member of Hamas that was just lately released from prison through the prisoner swap between Israel and Palestine?
Hi, Mariam. Your question about Israel assassinating one of the aides of the leaders of the Popular Resistance Committees, I understand that they were together. It wasn't necessarily a targeted assassination of, as you said, the released prisoner, but it was more targeting of the leader of a terrorist group that Israel believes carried out an attack near Eilat from the Sinai last year, which killed 8 Israeli civilians, and that they were planning another attack. And Israel has evidence to that effect. So it believed that it had to act to in self-defense to stop another attack.
Mm-hmm. Yes, do you think that Israel timed this attack at a time when the world is completely diverted to what's happening in Syria, and even Arab leaders are merely focused on that, and therefore there wouldn't be a kind of world reaction perhaps against any attack on Gaza?
Well, I think Israel doesn't look at what's happening in the world. It has to defend its civilians, and Israel has a policy, I guess, of targeted assassinations. As you know, Mariam, they allegedly assassinated Al-Mabouei, Hamas self-confessed operative in Dubai a couple of years ago. So I'm sure there were similar things going on in the world, and Israel looks to its own evidence and has to decide when to act. I don't think looking at the wider picture of what's happening tragically in Syria is going to deter Israel. I mean, there's been peace, I wouldn't say peace, there's been quiet between the Hamas and Israel for maybe about a year, and this Syria uprising started exactly a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'll ask you more about this, but let me ask Mr. Nauman about the Arab reaction. It seems that, of course, a lot of people in the Arab world believe that this is an attack that should be condemned against, of course, the people in Gaza. The Israeli attack should be condemned. But at the same time, the Arab leaders did not show a strong reaction. Instead, they're showing strong reaction to the Syrian government and so on. What do you think that is?
Except for those who are pro-resistance in the Arab world, no Arab government, most of Arab governments, in fact, are not interested now in the Palestinian question and in the Palestinian what's going on in Gaza and West Bank. Most of them are concerned now and interested in the Syrian situation. and they are associated with the United States and, in fact, with Israel in opposing the Assad regime. Even Israel would not like the world attention to be diverted from the Syrian situation to the Palestinian one, because America won't allow that. So I think the main goal of Israel was to test the Hamas, the Jihad al-Islami, and Egypt at this time.
Yes.
What would they react to an Israeli aggression? What would be their behavior at this in this particular time?
Yes, let me ask Mr. Bousada in Gaza, how do you think the Egyptian reaction was? And since Mr. Naaman is saying that Israel wanted to test the Egyptian reaction, especially since the Islamic Muslim Brotherhood are coming to power, it seems, in Egypt, and could be more pro-Hamas, was there some kind of a surprise from the people in Gaza on how Egypt reacted?
Well, let me start by saying that I don't really think that Israel was very much trying to test the behavior of Egypt with regard to this eruption of violence, because as I stated earlier, Israel thought that they can go and assassinate the leader of PRCs without Palestinian response. But things got out of control and the violence erupted for about 5 days. Now, but with regard to the Egyptian response to what was happening, we have to bear in mind that the government in Egypt still a secular government, a government that was formed before the Egyptian parliamentary election, which took place in November. So basically, there hasn't been any change with regard to the how the Egyptian government views any eruption of violence between the Palestinians and Israelis. But what was fascinating and was interesting is the reaction of the Egyptian parliament, which is dominated by the Muslim Brotherhood and Salafi groups in Egypt. As a result of the eruption of violence, as a result of the Israeli assassination and Israeli bombardment of the Gaza Strip, the Egyptian parliament asked for the expulsion of the Israeli ambassador from Cairo and recalling the Egyptian ambassador in Tel Aviv, and also amend the Camp David agreement, which was signed between Egypt and Israel in 1979, and also amend the gas commercial deal between Egypt and Israel. I believe that the Egyptians are no longer tolerating any Israeli provocation, any Israeli aggression against the Palestinians, and the Egyptians are more concerned about taking control of their own destiny, of their own sovereignty, and regaining their pride, which they lost over the past 30 years since Mubarak came to office.
Yes, now, Mr. Millett in London, I would like, of course, to hear your reaction and the fact that you said there's been some kind of peace for the last year or so. Wouldn't Israel want to keep that peace instead of begin a kind of reaction? Or was it really to test the Iron Dome and see how that works, of course, with Palestinian missiles?
Well, I don't think, Marianne, that Israel really wants to go into any kind of battle situation just to test the Iron Dome. Whatever alliance is taking place between Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood, or all of these combinations and these alliances are still to be worked out. As you said, it's Hamas has now fled from Damascus, so we're not really sure how the Arab Spring is going to end up, especially in Egypt. In Egypt, we see there's going to be a sort of proxy battle between the military and the Muslim Brotherhood for the control of the country, possibly. But whatever happens, the Popular Resistance Committees and Islamic Jihad have free rein to do what they want in Gaza, whether Hamas is firing rockets or not. We saw on television a few days ago one of the spokesperson of the PRC say that Hamas is allowing them to do exactly what they want in Gaza. So whether the rockets are being fired by Hamas or PRC or by Islamic Jihad or any of the groups that are prevalent in Gaza, it doesn't make any difference. Israel has to respond to those rockets, and they've developed the Iron Dome, which has, as you said, has successfully dealt with about 80 to 90% of the rockets that have been fired into Israel. But there's still 10% of the rockets that have still caused a huge amount of disruption and injuries to Israeli civilians, and a shutdown of southern Israel, where a million people are having their lives affected. Now, I know that the people in Gaza are having their own lives affected as well, but in my view, the blame is on Hamas for allowing PRC, Islamic Jihad, etc., to operate freely and fire rockets from Gaza into Israel.
Yes, Mr. Abu Saada, in Gaza, how do you think the Arab leaders should react, in your opinion, to what happened in Gaza?
Well, let me say that the Palestine issue is not solely a Palestinian issue. This is an Arab issue, and it has been this way since the establishment of Israel in 1948. And the expulsion of the Palestinian people from their own land, and also the occupation of their what left of Palestine back in 1967. We, the Palestinian, consider our cause as part of the Arab nation, and the Palestinians definitely will not be able to regain their political rights and defeat Israel on their own. Therefore, we believe that without our Arab support and Islamic support, we will not be able to put an end to the Israeli occupation of Palestinian land. Therefore, definitely, the Palestinians are in bad need for Arab support from Arab governments and the Arab people. Now, it was very clear that before the Arab Spring, most of the Arab governments were basically paying just only a lip service to the Palestine issue through their summits every year by supporting the Palestinians politically and morally. But when it comes to the test, nothing has been done in terms of stopping Israeli aggression against the Palestinians. If I go back 3 years ago, when Israel launched its cast lead operation against the Gaza Strip for 22 days, killed more than 1,500 Palestinians and injured more than 20,000 others, with devastation in infrastructure and civilian buildings, the Arab countries were not able to put an end or to stop Israeli aggression against the Palestinians.
Mr. Abu Saada, do you think that the Arabs should at any time call for perhaps military aid to the Palestinians, as they are doing with the armed groups inside Syria?
Now, I don't think that the Arab government will be able to support the Palestinians militarily. We all know that the balance of power is in the interest of the Israelis and their backers, the U.S. administration and Western countries. And the Arabs are not definitely are not interested in any war with Israel. But at least the Arab governments can. I mean, instead of supporting the Palestinians militarily, which could inflict some negative impacts on their contacts with the United States and Western countries, they at least can utilize their economic or political will on the U.S. to try to influence U.S. foreign policy and Western foreign policy toward the Palestine-Israeli conflict. It seems to me that the Arabs are capable of doing that, especially the Arab Gulf countries, who control 50% of the oil reserve in the world. They can
yes.
use and utilize their economic well-being to influence U.S. and Western political foreign policy toward the Palestine-Israel conflict.
Yes, Professor Nauman, you said that you wanted to give your comments on this. And the issue of, I want you to assess for us what you think of the Arab stance.
Yes.
Do you think that they should call for military assistance to the Palestinians? As
First of all, unlike Professor Abu Saada, I don't think that the Palestinian cause is an Arab issue, an Arab cause nowadays. It's not, unfortunately. Before the so-called Arab Spring, it used partly to be sort of a central issue, an Arab issue. But after the so-called Arab Spring, and especially after the political troubles that took place in Syria, I think the Arab conservative states, and most of the Arab states are conservative, they have shifted their attention to the Syrian scene, and they are concentrating their efforts there against the Assad regime.
Yes, why is
were
that?
They, were they to were they to consider the Palestinian cause as their cause, as an Arab cause, they wouldn't have considered the threat of Iran as the threat facing the Arab conservative states.
Mm-hmm.
They would have said that, no, Israel is the threat, not Iran. So the
yes.
fact that Iran to them is the main threat, it means that the Palestinian issue, the Palestinian cause, is no more their cause, no
the
more
Arab
an Arab uh-huh. cause in their eyes.
Yes, let me ask Mr. Millet, does Israel fear that there could be an alliance between, or unity government between Hamas and Fatah, and growing alliances between Hamas and the upcoming world Arab leaders, if we may say, in the revolutionary countries?
Well, I agree with the previous your previous guest, Mariam, that there is a breach in the Arab world, and I think it's to a certain extent been created by Hamas, where they have received assistance from Iran, and Saudi Arabia and other conservative Arab countries, as your previous guest said, are seeing Iran as the main threat to the region. If Iran is possibly developing a nuclear bomb, then the other conservative Arab countries are going to feel very threatened. And I think Hamas is sort of on the back foot where this is concerned, and it's not receiving much support from the Arab world because of this huge breach that it's gone and created.
Mm-hmm.
For itself. And as I say, we don't know where the Arab Spring is going to finish, and it's got a long way to go.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people who can have a say in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Professor Nauman, just 30 seconds. Do you think that what's happening in Syria is what the West wants everyone to focus on? This is the interests actually lie in what's happening in Syria.
Yes, the West in general, the United States in particular, are against the Syrian regime for the simple reason that Syria is an ally to Iran. That, in the United States' eyes, is sort of a threat to Israel. Since Israel is their main ally in the Middle East, then the mm-hmm. Americans are trying to
yes.
to topple
mm-hmm.
Assad's
Israel.
Regime, or
yes.
at least to
weaken it, perhaps.
To fight it
and
so
weaken.
As to become so weak
mm-hmm.
And unable to support Iran if Iran is to be attacked by mm-hmm. the United States or Israel.
Yes, Professor Issam Nauman, thank you very much for being with us. I want to thank Mr. Richard Millet, independent journalist, joining us from London, and Professor Mukhaymer Abu Saada joining us in Gaza. Our email is metoday@presstv.com. Stay with Press TV. Goodbye for now.